Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If you're an RIA, Schwab Advisor Services is the Watson to your homes. Smart, dependable, always has your back. With all the wealth services, technology, and support your firm needs, the difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Follow the clues at schwabvious.com.
Welcome to The Deep Dive. Today, we're diving into, well, a truly compelling intersection, connecting George Orwell's timeless literary classic, Animal Farm, with the cutting-edge reality of artificial intelligence in 2025.
A fascinating link, isn't it? Taking that classic story and seeing how it echoes today.
Exactly. Our mission for this deep dive is really to unpack how this cautionary tale finds, you know, startling new resonance in our AI-driven world. We'll explore what it means when AI and large language models, or LLMs, those powerful conversational AI tools we're seeing pop up everywhere, become tools of power, propaganda, and control rather than liberation.
Yeah, we're not just like revisiting a story for its own sake. We're using it as a lens, really, to peer into the very real immediate implications of AI and LLMs. And we'll be drawing insights from a couple of key sources, a modern reimagining called Animal Farm, the Digital Dominion, and also a pretty comprehensive analysis piece, animalfarm.txt.
So, if you're ready to see how a 1945 novella about talking animals can maybe illuminate the bewildering pace of our modern world, well, let's get started. Okay, so first, maybe a quick refresher for anyone not familiar. Animal Farm is this deceptively simple fable. Farm animals rise up against their human oppressor, Mr. Jones. They want to build this utopian society, you know, based on equality.
Right, the dream of animalism.
Yeah.
But as the story unfolds, that dream slowly, or maybe not so slowly, devolves into a really brutal totalitarian regime led by the pigs.
Mm. And one powerful aspect of Orwell's narrative is how it serves as this allegory, right, for the Russian Revolution and the rise of Stalinism.
Absolutely. But its themes go way beyond that specific historical event. They're universal. The corruption of revolutionary ideals, the dangers of totalitarianism, and crucially, the manipulation of truth.
We see this play out through those key characters, Napoleon, the ruthless pig dictator.
Yep. And Snowball, the intellectual idealist who gets purged.
Can't forget Squealer, the masterful propagandist.
Oh, definitely not. And Boxer, the loyal, hardworking horse, the so easily manipulated, the sort of proletariat figure.
Right. And Benjamin, the cynical old donkey who kind of sees through it all, but stays passive.
He does. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, Orwell's core warning seems pretty clear. Absolute power inevitably corrupts. That ending, where the other animals look from pig to man and man to pig and can't tell the difference anymore, it powerfully illustrates how new tools or new leaders can just shift who's in control without fundamentally changing the power dynamics.
It really makes you think, can technological advancements, even the ones we think are for good, fall prey to that same fate?
And that's the scary part, isn't it? That potential for even well-intentioned tools to be corrupted. Which brings us to this modern reimagining. What happens when old Major's dream gets tangled up with technology?
Right. So imagine this classic tale with a startling modern twist. This is from Animal Farm, The Digital Dominion. Old Major, the wise old boar, he still dreams of liberation for Mr. Jones. But now, his speeches include warnings about the humans, AI, and LLMs. You know, tools they use for automation, for profits, even for generating news and, like, persuasive ads.
What's really compelling there is how the news story immediately grounds these core concerns in technology.
Right.
It's not abstract anymore. So after Old Major passes away, Snowball, who's always the innovator, right? He envisions building Animal Farm's own AI.
Oh, interesting. Like what?
Things like automated milking machines, seed planting drones, basically tech to free the animals from labor, and LLMs to generate manifestos of animal liberation. He even develops a facial recognition system to spot threats.
Okay, so initially the tech is framed as purely beneficial. The MilkBot 3000 increases production. The Oracle of Animalism, LLM, helps write speeches. Sounds almost utopian again.
Almost. But then, of course, you have Napoleon. He sees the potential for control. And Squealer grasps the power of LLMs for propaganda. And that's where the subtle manipulation begins.
Which leads us to a really crucial question, I think. Just as the animals initially believed in the pig's leadership and, you know, embraced this new technology, are we, as a society, maybe doing the same? Embracing AI without fully grasping the long-term implications of how these powerful tools might be co-opted, or how they might fundamentally change power dynamics.
That's a heavy question.
Yeah.
And it really brings us to Squealer.
Yeah, here's where it gets really interesting. Connecting Squealer's original role to AI in, well, 2025. In this modern animal farm, Squealer starts using that Oracle of Animalism, LLM, not just for speeches, but to rewrite history, generating official-looking reports demonizing Snowball.
And the other animals. They start seeing these, like, holographic projections of LLM-generated news reports. Plausible, convincing, and they begin to believe Squealer's version of reality.
Wow. That parallels so much of what we're seeing today, doesn't it? Generative AI provides this exponentially powerful tool for manipulation.
Exactly. It enables the mass production of disinformation and propaganda at a scale and a low cost that was unimaginable before. It can broaden the topics being manipulated, adopt specific framings, maybe a cynical tone toward certain ideas, and even micro-target messages to different audiences.
So it's not just about more lies, but potentially more convincing lies.
Yeah.
You hear about AI-assisted articles that maintain persuasiveness even when false, and deepfakes that can convincingly imitate public figures.
Right. And all of this leads to a significant erosion of trust. Public concerns are growing about LLMs becoming essentially vehicles of misinformation.
Which brings us to what you called the Squealer effect.
Precisely. It's AI's capacity not just to misinform, but to actually redefine reality. To make alternative realities seem indistinguishable from truth. If AI can generate content that's statistically similar to neutral, objective reporting, even when it's biased, or if it can create entirely false histories, well, that undermines the very fabric of shared understanding, of objective truth.
It's not just spitting out falsehoods, it's crafting narratives.
Exactly. Narratives that might perfectly exploit our existing biases, our echo chambers, making us want to believe them. It creates this sort of self-reinforcing loop of deception. It's quite insidious.
And that ties into another critical challenge, the potential erosion of critical thinking. If we become too dependent on AI for information,
our cognitive muscles might atrophy, right?
Yeah.
Some studies are showing a negative correlation between frequent AI usage and critical thinking scores.
Yeah, I saw that. Almost half of LLM users apparently believe the models are smarter than them, and many admit it makes them feel lazy or like they're cheating.
And what's perhaps more concerning is that around 23% of users report making significant mistakes because of relying on AI, and 21% felt manipulated by it.
This isn't just about laziness, you know. It's a fundamental shift in how we engage with complex problems. It really does parallel Boxer's unthinking loyalty. Napoleon is always right, and Benjamin's intelligent but ultimately passive observation.
So a population that becomes overly reliant on AI for answers might lose its capacity for independent thought, making it more susceptible to control.
That's the fear. It creates a vulnerability.
Okay, let's really nail down these parallels. Let's unpack the direct connections between Orwell's propaganda playbook and AI's disinformation toolkit today. So in Orwell's playbook, you had things like simple, catchy slogans, four legs good, two legs bad.
And today's AI toolkit. Mass production of disinformation, often boiling complex issues down into those simple, catchy, shareable sound bites that spread like wildfire online.
Orwell's pigs constantly revised history, changing the Seven Commandments on the barn wall. AI's toolkit. Deepfakes and synthetic media, literally creating audio and video of things that never happened, rewriting history visually.
The pigs used scapegoating. Snowball was blamed for everything.
AI enables micro-targeting and personalized messaging. So propaganda isn't one size fits all. It can be tailored to an individual's specific fears or biases, making the scapegoat seem much more plausible to them.
They appealed to fear Mr. Jones will come back.
AI's toolkit includes algorithmic amplification. Social media feeds can push emotionally charged content, often fear-based narratives, whether true or false, right to the top of your screen.
The pigs controlled all information on the farm. no outside news.
And today, automated content rewriting with specific framing, AI selecting articles to push a certain agenda, all designed to seem credible even when they're pushing falsehoods.
Wow. When you lay it out like that.
It's pretty stark, isn't it? The principles of manipulation haven't really changed, but the tools, they're exponentially more powerful and pervasive now.
Okay, moving on from information control. What about actual physical control?
Yeah.
Surveillance. Just as the pigs asserted increasing oversight on the farm,
AI-powered surveillance in 2025 enables real-time monitoring and, crucially, predictive control on a global scale. It's a fundamental shift from just reacting to things to proactively managing populations.
Predictive control, how does that work?
Well, these AI systems go beyond just recording footage. They offer real-time analysis, they can detect behavioral anomalies, they run predictive analytics, they can establish baselines of what's considered normal behavior in a space, and then flag deviations. This allows for preemptive intervention, sometimes before anything has even happened.
That sounds eerily like the pigs anticipating descent, controlling not just through force, but through constant observation.
He mirrors it quite closely, that constant watching, that anticipation.
So what are the implications here for human rights? We already see AI used for mass surveillance, things like widespread facial recognition, often disproportionately affecting marginalized groups.
Right. And it's not just about being watched. It leads us to a critical point. Bias in the data. AI systems inherit biases from the data they're trained on. This leads to discriminatory outputs in really critical areas: criminal justice, healthcare, hiring, loan applications.
And these biases can be hard to spot.
Extremely hard, almost imperceptible sometimes. But they can seriously exacerbate discrimination against marginalized groups. It creates this new form of systemic discrimination where, effectively, some animals are more equal than others by algorithmic design.
It's not just overt prejudice, but bias baked into the code.
Precisely. And this extends to other freedoms, too. Think about how aggregated online information could be used to block someone's access to housing or finance, or tracking individuals involved in protests. Even accountability gets tricky. AI used by social media platforms has been known to automatically remove content, sometimes including evidence of human rights violations, making it harder to document abuses.
Okay, let's shift gears slightly to another key character, Boxer, the loyal, hardworking horse. He represents increased productivity through sheer effort, right? But he ends up, well, exploited and discarded.
He does. And that brings us squarely to AI's very complex impact on labor.
Yeah, you see conflicting headlines all the time. Like a Goldman Sachs report estimates maybe 300 million jobs globally could be exposed to automation.
But then the World Economic Forum predicts, what, 69 million new jobs by 2028, many related to AI. So AI definitely automates routine tasks, it can enhance decision-making, and it promises significant productivity gains overall.
However, this transformation isn't hitting everyone equally, is it? AI seems to be driving demand for new skill sets, leading to significant skill polarization, inequality.
That's a key finding. Uh-huh. And somewhat surprisingly, educated workers might actually be more exposed to AI disruption maybe 5 times more than workers with only a high school degree, because AI is becoming capable of more cognitive tasks.
So connecting this back, you called this the Boxer paradox.
Yeah, I think it fits. Increased productivity overall, driven by AI, can actually lead to enhanced vulnerability for certain segments of the workforce. While AI boosts the economy in aggregate, it also seems to be leading to job polarization, growth in high-skill and low-skill jobs, but hollowing out the middle. And it has disproportionate impacts on already vulnerable groups.
Are there specific examples of that?
There are. McKinsey found Black workers in the U.S. are overrepresented in jobs identified as having high risk from automation, about 24% compared to 20% for white workers. And the International Labor Organization predicts that in high-income countries, maybe 7.8% of occupations typically held by women could be automated. That's 21 million jobs compared to just 2.9% for men, which is about 9 million jobs.
Wow. So the benefits and the risks are not evenly distributed at all.
Not at all. And beyond the direct workforce impact, AI can also deepen the digital divide. It creates new inequalities in access to the technology itself, but also to the education needed to use it and the economic opportunities it creates. This hits underserved populations hardest.
So the digital divide isn't just about having a smartphone or internet access anymore.
No, it's much deeper now. It's about having access to the knowledge to use these powerful tools effectively. It's about access to essential resources like quality education and healthcare, which are increasingly intertwined with digital systems. If that foundational infrastructure and digital literacy are lacking, AI won't fix it. It'll likely just exacerbate existing inequalities. You could potentially see a new kind of class system emerge where digital capital access and skills determines your level of equality.
Okay, so we've painted a picture with some pretty concerning parallels. Misinformation, surveillance, inequality. This leads directly to the need for governance, right? How do we manage this?
Absolutely. The rapid advance of AI necessitates urgent and comprehensive governance. And we are seeing increased legislative activity globally in 2025.
Yeah, I read that all 50 U.S. states have introduced some form of AI-related legislation.
That's right. And globally, different approaches are emerging. You have the EU AI Act, which takes a risk-based approach, banning certain unacceptable uses and putting strict requirements on high-risk systems like those in healthcare or critical infrastructure.
What about other places?
China has mandatory labeling rules now for AI-generated content, so people know what they're looking at. Brazil has also approved a comprehensive AI bill, so there's movement.
Is it enough? Is it keeping pace? It feels like there's still a huge gap.
You've hit on a critical issue. Despite all this activity, a significant governance gap persists. AI technology is simply advancing faster than our ability to develop effective mechanisms to manage its risks. And this vacuum, this gap, is where misuse can really flourish.
So if we connect this to the bigger picture, this governance gap is a critical vulnerability. It opens the door to the kind of AI-enabled totalitarianism we've been discussing.
I think that's a fair assessment. Without strong, ideally globally coordinated regulatory bodies and clear ethical standards, the very tools designed for progress can be co-opted for control and oppression. It's kind of like how the pigs could just keep changing the commandments on the barn wall because there was no real enforcement, no oversight. That allowed them to consolidate power unchallenged. This governance gap serves a similar function, potentially.
Okay, so given that gap, what does responsible AI development and safety look like now? What should we be focusing on?
Well, it definitely requires robust strategies to mitigate bias in data and algorithms. It needs interdisciplinary collaboration technologists working with ethicists, social scientists, policymakers. And crucially, transparency and accountability are key. Informing users how their data is being used, how decisions are being made by AI systems, and providing meaningful ways to opt out or seek redress.
I've also heard discussions shifting from just AI alignment to AI control. What's the difference there?
That's a fascinating and important shift. Alignment generally aims to ensure AI acts in ways that are beneficial to human interests, that it understands and follows our values. Control, on the other hand, is maybe more pragmatic. It focuses on ensuring AI cannot harm humans, even if its internal motivations or understanding are misaligned or unpredictable. Even if it wanted to cause harm, it wouldn't be able to.
So control acknowledges the difficulty in truly knowing if an AI is aligned, especially complex LLMs where detecting deception is hard.
Exactly. It acknowledges the potential for unexpected failure modes. So it shifts the focus from trying to guarantee benevolent intentions, which is incredibly difficult, to building robust mechanisms that constrain the AI's capabilities. It's about limiting potential damage regardless of intent, a more cautious approach perhaps to preventing a dystopian outcome.
Which brings us back to Benjamin, the donkey. He understood what the pigs were doing, but he chose inaction. Ultimately, the path forward requires empowering the Benjamin in all of us, right? But how do we ensure we don't repeat his mistake?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? I think Orwell's enduring message is relevant here. He warns that malicious groups will continue to use propaganda and manipulation to usurp power. Unless courageous individuals step up, spread the truth, and stand up for those who can't fight for themselves. The primary weapon we possess, really, is a courageous voice armed with knowledge.
So practically, what does that mean in the age of AI?
It means proactive digital literacy for everyone. Learning how these systems work, understanding their limitations, their biases. It means critically evaluating AI-generated content, not just accepting it at face value. And it means a collective demand from citizens, from consumers, from employees, for transparency and accountability from the companies developing this tech and the governments regulating it. We can't afford to be passive like Benjamin.
As we wrap up this deep dive, looking at the echoes of Animal Farm and our AI-driven world, the parallels are, well, they're undeniable and pretty startling, actually. We've seen how AI's capabilities can potentially amplify those very mechanisms of control. Orwell warned us about, from mass disinformation and propaganda.
Mm-hmm. The squealer effect.
To pervasive surveillance and the deepening of existing inequalities, like Boxer's burden.
Yeah. And AI holds immense potential for progress. There's no doubt about that. But it really does present humanity with a profound choice. Will we allow it to become the tool of some new Napoleon and squealer used to amplify control and deepen divides? Or will we, perhaps learning from Benjamin's inaction, finally heed the warnings? Will we arm ourselves with knowledge and collectively demand the ethical governance and responsible development needed to ensure AI actually serves humanity's highest ideals?
The future of our society really does seem to depend on the choices we make right now. The question left for everyone listening is, what choices will you make to safeguard a truly liberated future?
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.